It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bird in motion, pitch play to the right. Working off a block, finding the end zone as he lunges over the goal line for a 5-yard touchdown run. Just like his papa, Frank Gore Jr., into the end zone for the touchdown. Brown under center, takes the snap. Gibb goes to Hamler, and he's in for a 1-yard touchdown run. KJ Hamler's first rushing touchdown since his days at Penn State.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Happy final week before the NFL regular season gets rolling. The preseason is in the books. You heard some of the clips there, some of the highlights from this weekend against Carolina. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. Had some fun this weekend. Got to see a little bit of the game. Watched some of it back later. Was tough. Josh, were you doing something during the game?
Yeah, I was just checking the score on my phone. I was helping my buddy move into his apartment, and every once in a while we'd see, there's a touchdown. Oh, there's a, like, we saw the Frank Gore touchdown.
So you were more glued to, even if it was only on your phone, the Bills-Panthers game more than Georgia Tech and Florida State?
Oh, we saw that.
Because that game was going on at the same time.
Well, we saw it was getting close, and then we were like, maybe we should take a break here and turn this on. And then we fumbled with the internet for a while, couldn't get it going, and then by that time the field goal already happened. But
yeah,
what an ending to that game.
Yeah, the whole game was good. From the get-go, I thought it was going to be a shootout because, and I'm talking about Georgia Tech and Florida State here, that game started before Bills and Panthers over in Ireland. First college football game of the year. Seemed like a pretty good matchup. You got a Florida State team that was ranked just outside the top 10, and the pregame panel, there's Saban picking them to win the ACC. Like, good team. They got beat. They got beat, and I thought they weren't the better team in the game. This was not like upset city. It was just two close teams playing a college football game that came down to the final play. And that game, man, real quick on that game, that was very close to a catastrophic mess by Georgia Tech. They had that game tied. They were driving into field goal range. Just got to wind the clock down to kick a last-second field goal. And the center and the quarterback, like, they've got to run two more plays, wind the clock, kick the field goal, game over, you win. And if they would have made the field goal, center and quarterback exchange does not go well, fumble. The ball is on the ground, almost could lose it. Quarterback gets to it, though, just in time, and they're able to get a few yards back, and they kick the field goal to win. So you had a banger for a nice college football opener, and that was happening at the same time, so I had both games on. I went, though, we were with some buddies, had a fantasy draft weekend out in Ellicottville, which was a lot of fun. Love my team. Got a Bill on that team that I had not drafted a single time anywhere else all offseason that I want to get to expectations and kind of the fantasy landscape for one certain Bill. Could do that a little bit later, though. So we're all watching the game. We agreed as a group. Georgia Tech, Florida State gets the big TV. Bills, Panthers, if you want it, put it up on your phone. It's like I had it on my phone. That felt appropriate, right? The Bills were playing guys that I don't expect to make the team, and I don't think a lot of people think will make the team. We'll get into a lot of that also with Sal Capaccio coming up at 8 o'clock. this morning. So stay tuned for Sal when he comes on, because we'll get into, you know, today some 53-man roster projections and who's going to make the team, what the numbers look like at each position. That is going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow is cutdown day. So one more day, and we'll have the Bills roster mostly for the start of the regular season against Arizona, which is 13 days from today. Let's go. 9 days from Bills and from Ravens and Chiefs, I believe. 9 days. No, is that right? 10 days. 10 days. 10 days from Ravens and Chiefs. Football right around the corner. You can smell it. The fall-like weather we had last week might have made it seem like it was closer than it may appear. And then it got warm again this weekend. It got hot even. And this week looks like it'll be pretty good weather-wise. So, a lot to get to today on today's show. If you got a question about any certain player, about their status on the 53-man roster, whether we think they're going to make the team or miss the team, or you want to make a campaign or a case for somebody making the team, or just a thought, 803-0550 is the phone number to get involved this morning. One other thing I do want to get to over the course of today's show, Drake May looked awesome again in New England. Preseason pledge. Got to write it down. Preseason pledge. But he looked pretty good. He looked good. We'll get to that. Get to Drake May a little bit later on as well. Who stood out? Who stood out in this Carolina game? Frank Gore Jr.? We finally arrived at, the third, fourth, fifth string running back in the preseason, piling up the yardage. And now, you know, he's somebody that you might have a question about. Will Frank Gore Jr. make the team? 18 carries, 101 yards in this game, one touchdown. Saw him go down late in the game. I guess he said after he doesn't think it's all that serious. They put KJ Hamler in at running back. And my initial reaction to that was, oh, look at this. We've been wondering, who could be the Curtis Samuel replacement? Who's the guy in the receiver room that you can do a bunch of things with? Line up in the backfield, perhaps. Jet sweeps. And, oh, who's that lined up in the backfield? It was KJ Hamler. Then realizing, oh, wait a minute. That's maybe because they just don't have another running back available that they want to put in. And actually, that could mean, that might actually be the opposite of, oh, this is good for him. My initial reaction was, Hamler. Put him on the team. Could do a bunch of different things. Versatile. Put him in the backfield. It went well. 3 for 21 and a touchdown on his three carries. Two of them were at the goal line. So he didn't have a lot of room to operate for more than 21 yards. 18 on one of his rushes. But really, when you look at a game like Saturday, Hamler's maybe a good example of this. Oh, he's playing running back at the end of the game. That might not necessarily be a good sign for his status making the team. It might actually be a bad sign. It might be, oh, look, who they're willing to put out there at the end of a preseason finale. And I think Darrington Evans was standing there on the sidelines. I don't know if he had taken his pads off or if he was available to go in. They just didn't want him to go in because he's either going to make the team or he's going to make the practice squad, maybe more likely. So I don't know if that's a good sign for some of these guys, that they were in the game and that they were in the game late. Deion Kane is another one. Receiver they signed a couple weeks ago, veteran guy, big contributor in the XFL, I believe. And he had a couple nice catches, 3 for 28 in this game, but wait, he was in the fourth quarter? Just, I don't know how many people you would expect to be playing in the fourth quarter of the final preseason game and expect, oh yeah, that guy's got a shot at making the roster. I don't know what to take out of that game for the 53 other than everybody's kind of in my opinion, a holding pattern. Joe Andreessen, for instance, big name, big story, I should say. Going into that game and going into the weekend. UB product and was awesome against the Steelers last week. has had a great spring. Ever since being a tryout at rookie minicamp, kept building up and building up and building up to a point where going into this week, it was, I think he's on the roster. Just don't screw it up. And, I mean, did he do that? I don't think he was as good as he was against Pittsburgh. Did he screw it up, though? I don't know that I would say that either. I think he might be someone that right now I would also say probably close, but I might still put him on the roster. I might still put him on. He might be one of those last guys, though, that would get on. Maybe they try to sneak him onto the practice squad now. I don't know. But there were a couple of plays in coverage that didn't look great for Andreessen early in that game against Carolina. Is there a built-in excuse a little bit? Sure, because the Bills had their third stringers in, really. Second and third stringers. And Carolina played a little bit with their starting offense. We saw Bryce Young. We saw like Andreessen out there on that first drive and the rest of the Bills' defenders. Who are they out there against? They're out there against Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen. And wait a minute, is that Jordan Matthews running around out there? That was a sight to behold. Who, raise your hand if you're like me and you went, Jordan Matthews still plays football? Wait a minute, you mean the guy, the Eagle receiver that the Bills traded for and played like half a year here and made headlines when he said there was only like one thing to do in Buffalo, and we don't need to get into what that one thing was, but that guy is still running around out here in the NFL? I was so surprised. I can't tell you. I'm into these deep fantasy leagues where there are benches. Some of them, you know, a couple of them, maybe like two of the leagues I'm in, have like 20-man benches. Just unnecessarily too deep of a fantasy league. There's nothing available. And almost anybody that's got a roster spot on offense in the league, like you're looking at in this league. So I'm pretty familiar with the bottom of depth charts. I did not know Jordan Matthews was still running around out here. And playing tight end, by the way. He's playing tight end. Jordan Matthews played for the Bills in 2017 under Sean McDermott. He played, man, 10 games. It was really 10 games. 10 games, 36 targets, 25 receptions, 282 yards and a touchdown. I have lost his career track ever since. I guess just looking at his stats, he went back to Philadelphia and then to San Francisco. And then back to Philadelphia, and then back to San Francisco, and now he's in Carolina at age 31. But he also hasn't played a football game in now 5 years. So I think he's just running around on practice squads out there, I believe. I mean, he has to be. Or he's just inactive every game for the last 4 years. But there he was. He was on Carolina last year. He was on the Niners the year before that. Like, the Niners had him for 2.5 seasons. And to my numbers here, he never played. He never played a snap. He played 14 snaps, actually, for the Niners in 2020. And a couple of snaps for him on special teams. There it is. That's why I didn't see him playing. 19 special team snaps last year for Carolina. All right, Jordan Matthews, still going in the league. So, all right. I was so surprised that I saw that on Saturday. But as for the Bills, one thing that I was really focused on, locked in on Saturday, was the receiver battle. And what could we get at the bottom of the position group? And so really where I'm going to start today is where we've ended up here. Because that position has been the subject matter for the Bills for most of the offseason. Really since the day after the Chief game. Going all the way back. That is Trent Sherfield starting for you at wide receiver in a playoff game. It is, hey, what's going on with Diggs? Not off the field. What's going on with Diggs on the field? Why is he getting all these targets, and why has the production evaporated? Shakir was nice. Like, I wasn't wondering about Shakir. He was nice, and he made some big plays in that Chief game. But that position just looked like a shell of itself from what it had been in the past. So, of course, with that, and then it being magnified by, well, Gabe Davis leaves in free agency, and then they trade Diggs away, and the draft was so loaded with all these receiver prospects that it was natural. It was natural. This was going to be the offseason of the wide receiver for the Bills. It was the offseason of receiver. And here we sit the day after, or 2 days after, I should say, the preseason finale, the day before the final 53-man roster cut. And how do we feel about where they've landed? How do we feel about not just the top end and really the guys that are going to play? Because right now, I guess that's kind of seems like it's set in stone. They have a top four. They absolutely have a top four of receivers. And really going back to when would they have signed Chase Claypool? Would that have been April? Maybe May? Maybe that was May after the draft. May, they signed Claypool. They signed MVS late, right? They had KJ Hamler in the building since January. They signed Mac Hollins. That was earlier than all of those. Well, not all of Hamler, I guess, was the earliest. But Hollins was their first free agent signing at the position once free agency opened. So those are kind of the four. There were other bodies. But there were these lottery tickets, right? Lottery ticket here, lottery ticket there. I got a big, athletic, fast guy in Chase Claypool who had big numbers in his first 2 years in the NFL. Lottery ticket. Let me cross my fingers, hope I get lucky, because, hey, if Chase Claypool can keep his head on straight, that guy could play. We think that guy could play for them. So, lottery ticket there. I thought Hamler was a lottery ticket, and that's not over. He could make the team, I guess, tomorrow. I probably wouldn't bet it right now. But Hamler, making the case for that a month ago was, okay, well, he's a second-round pick, just like Chase Claypool was. And rookie year, all right, he didn't do much. He was all right, like 40 catches. And then, bam, heart condition. Knocks him out for the last, like, three seasons. Hasn't been able to get on the field. Even last year, when he was on the Colts practice squad and reading about his story there, how he was looking like he was about to get back on the field finally and get an opportunity, and his heart condition, like, something popped up again with that, and he couldn't play. So what I have there is and he did have a knee injury along the way, too. It wasn't just the heart thing. But what I have there is a guy that hasn't really played much football since 2020. That was 4 years ago. But, hey, second-round pick, 5'9", really fast, small, shifty guy, can return kicks, lottery ticket. MVS, same thing. Now, I think he's interesting to get to with Sal a little bit later on, and just to evaluate MVS in general about if he's going to make the team, because we were questioning whether he would before the injury. But maybe the injury even helps him because of IR rules, or maybe just because what's developed elsewhere at the position. Samuel's injury too. MVS, they sign him. Played with two great quarterbacks, Rodgers and Mahomes, the only quarterbacks he's played with. Couple years ago, pretty good. 687, couple of touchdowns on 81 targets. Big part of the Chiefs offense 2 years ago. And 2 years before that, big part of the Green Bay offense. Led the league in yards per reception in 2020, that same year that Hamler played, in the same year that Claypool had a big year. MVS, late free agent signing that was still available. Lottery ticket, The Bills were taking their shots at these well-known players, even to most casual fans, known commodities, known names at least, that you were trying to see, hey, can I get lucky here? Can MVS look like the player that he was 2 years ago and 4 years ago in Kansas City, where he could beat you down the field with his speed and not the guy last year? Because the guy last year was the Chiefs begging for anybody at wide receiver to step up. Begging. Somebody please give Mahomes another body to throw at. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling, playing 16 of the 17 games, had 21 catches for 300 yards and one touchdown. Wasn't him. And could it have really been more disappointing for him? Since he signed with the Bills, could it have been more disappointing? MVS has a training camp that I thought was, you know, amongst their receivers, one of the weaker ones. He had drop problems early in the preseason, which is no new thing with him. That's been happening really his entire career. So between a training camp where, hey, listen, training camp is kind of the, hey, everybody looks great type of season. You kind of gotta work hard to find somebody that's not playing well or not having a great camp. And maybe MVS fits that bill. So anyone feel great about, and now he's injured, right? Now he's injured with a neck injury. Anyone feel great about how that's gone? I don't feel like he is gonna make an impact this year on their receiver room. Maybe he makes the team. Claypool's gone. And that never got off the ground. You had minicamp, and it was, you know, you saw some clips from the Buffalo media guys, and we heard from Sal, and we had talked to others like Beauvais and Matt Perino and others. Like, hey, how does Claypool look? When we talked to those guys and Sal in the spring, it was, man, he looks good. Right? Shorts and t-shirt. Not going against full contact, you know, he looks good because he's big and he's fast. And then training camp arrives and it never got going. 2 days, he's injured. Bam, that's it. It's over. Just like that. Wow, okay. Someone that a lot of us have been thinking about for months, about maybe getting lucky that there's something there that the Bills could find, kind of a diamond in the rough, guy in his last legs in the league, maybe his last opportunity, playing like it's his last opportunity. When he's this talented, maybe he can get something. And just, you never even got to look at it. You never got to look at it. Who was the other? I mentioned Hamler. Hamler, you know, less of a lottery ticket maybe in most people's eyes than those guys, those two. But I like the idea. And again, maybe he never had a great shot at it. The return battle, Daquan Hardy, you know, has kind of, I think, taken that over. But doing some of the other stuff, the slot stuff, being a backup slot player, speed, gadgety type stuff. Again, Hamler maybe could still make it. But him being in there so late, doing the running back, I do wonder what that does for his odds. Right now, I feel like I wouldn't pencil him in. So for me, like, all right, I'm not expecting to get lucky there right now with their receiver room. And then you get to Mac Hollins. Hollins, you know, he's the one. He's the one that has emerged here. Where 2 months ago, it would have felt like, okay, it's Samuel, Shakir, Coleman, and everybody else. Now it's Samuel, Shakir, Coleman, Hollins, and everybody else. He's the one who's jumped up. And maybe that was right there the whole time as a good prediction to happen. Because Claypool, what are you really banking on? You're banking on him to make a direct impact, catching the football, big plays, right? Explosive plays. And MVS, same thing. You're betting on a guy that is fast and a downfield weapon. Explosive. And Hamler, same thing, explosive plays, being a part, get someone that you need to get the ball in the hands of to make him valuable to you. Maybe all three of those guys are like that. Their value to you, if everything goes right, is the ball being in their hands. And Hollins can do enough without the ball in his hands that allows him to join that top four or to make it a top four in the first place. But I don't feel like he's a lottery ticket guy anymore. I don't feel like he's, oh man, they really struck gold here with Mac Hollins. I mean, he'll be on the field. He'll do the dirty work. He'll block for them on run plays. He'll run routes down the field. He'll catch, I don't know, 20 passes this year, 30 passes this year. Maybe you think it's a little more than that, but he's never been an impact player, so I don't think I want to be expecting him to come in and catch a bunch of passes for me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In, you know, 8 years in the league, give or take. Actually, it's six seasons in the league. Six seasons in the league. He's been a regular contributor on an offense once. Once. So I like the player. I love the character that he is. And I think he's going to do things for the Bills that they need at the receiver position. But he is not someone I'm expecting to be excited about once the games are rolling. And that's kind of the disappointment of today and even maybe tomorrow a little bit. We can get to Shavers and Shorter because I was hoping one of them would pop off in that final Carolina preseason game to go, all right, here we go. Shavers, you know, ending his strong summer with a bang because he had a nice camp. Or Shorter, who had maybe a little bit of a late resurgence here, trying to make the team. Like, come on, show us something. The Bills attempted 27 passes in this game. They completed 22. And I know backup quarterbacks that weren't really slinging the ball down the field. They were a lot more safe, conservative throws. Not all, but some. And what'd you get from Shavers and Shorter? I got four catches combined. Both were 2 for 15. Shavers, you know, there's a touchdown there in the end zone where you probably want a better throw from Ben DiNucci, but I think I want Shavers to how about this? To make the team, does he have to make that catch? Maybe not. But to be someone that I'm excited about, you got a tough catch to make where you've got to extend in the end zone to make a catch for a touchdown, and you're a 6'4" undrafted guy. I need to be excited about you. I need you to make that catch. I need him to make that catch. Again, I don't know if he needs to make that catch to make the team, but that is, you got to really get after it. You got to, I mean, he kind of hesitates on his route, which maybe is why he doesn't get there. But even if he does, he's probably got to extend for it and make a tough catch. But man, I was hoping somebody over the last 2 months at the bottom of this receiver room was going to step up and make me and make fans a little bit more excited than I think what we have right now. Right now, I'm thinking they're back to where they were a year ago, 2 years ago, which was, man, if you get injuries at the top of your receiver room, I'm not all that hopeful about who would be coming in to replace him. 2 years ago, Gabe Davis got hurt. Who stepped in? Who started? Jake Kumerow, special teams guy. Not great. Last year, Gabe Davis gets hurt. Who steps in? Who starts? Trent Sherfield. For his career, pretty much a special teams guy. Didn't feel great about it. This year, somebody gets hurt. Well, I mean, the special teams guy now, maybe, you know, Hollins, I think, is more of a little bit more of an offensive player than those two, but he's maybe a starter right now. But if somebody gets hurt in the receiver room this year, who steps up? I don't know how much better the Bills are, even at the bottom end of their room, than they were the last couple of years. And I was trying to be hopeful that they were going to be better, at least depth-wise. And I don't think that's come to fruition. 803-0550 is the phone number. You think I'm wrong? Is there somebody in the receiver room that has stood out to you more so that has you a little bit more excited? Well, we'll break it down. Who's going to make the roster? I want to go around position by position and see who we think is going to make it. Sal's going to be coming on at 8 o'clock. Get to Drake May. Drake May's had a nice preseason, and he really capped it off, I think, in a strong way in the last, I think that game was yesterday. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Jeremy White is off today, welcoming your phone calls at 803-0550. We are 10 days from the regular season opener. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
Complete across the 25 to the 28 to Jamichael Hasty. I figured that was a shoe that came flying out, and it was his shoe.
How came good out. Is this guy? This guy's a living legend already.
Stop it.
Watch this. Gets his foot stepped on.
City Show.
Backside, City Show. There goes the shoe. Kick it off. No big deal. Let's just go ahead and throw this ball for a first down. What the heck, man? He's on a roll right now. Nobody wake him up.
Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth on the call for Patriots and Commanders yesterday. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. 803-0550 here on WGR. If you got a thought on a Bills roster cut projection, let us know what you think. That game, by the way, we'll talk about Drake May, but I already knew this because of fantasy, but I was interested to see others discovering that Zach Ertz is a Commander. Did you know that?
When did that happen?
I'm guessing in the last couple months. But yeah, Zach Ertz is a Commander.
Was it a trade or free agency?
I think he just signed in free agency on like a low money 1 year deal, I'm assuming. I actually kind of like him in fantasy this year, by the way. We can get to that later. Or not. Jahan Dotson out the door. So there's room for somebody to be the number two there in Washington for their nice rookie quarterback. By the way, Drake May. Okay, so he is the only rookie quarterback that we don't know the status of for the start of the year. We know J.J. McCarthy is out for the year. We know Michael Penix. Well, actually, do we know anything about Michael Penix? Do we know what's going on? Josh, you're scouring the NFL headlines to do your updates today. You didn't see anything, no mention of Atlanta?
I haven't seen anything about Michael Penix since he was drafted.
Okay.
I don't know what they're doing with him. No one knows what they're doing with him because I don't think they know what they're doing with him.
Well, they're not even playing him.
Right.
They're not playing him.
By the way, Zach Ertz signed in March with
So that was an early an early signing. Yeah, okay, very quick. Okay, now I got to get it out. I got to get it out because he's one of my deep sleepers right now. If you're in your home drafts, you need a desperate tight end at the end of your draft. Maybe you punted on the position and you didn't end up anywhere. Zach Ertz in his last 17 games for Arizona had 102 targets. The year before that, he had 112 targets. Zach Ertz has never had a year yet where he hasn't been targeted 100 times, except for when he didn't play 18 games or 17 games. So he's the number two right now, I think. Who else is it? It's Terry McLaurin, and then I think it's Zach Ertz. All right, anyways, they have a second-round rookie tight end. You never know. Back to the subject. Rookie quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels looks great. So does Caleb Williams. And who else? Bo Nix. Bo Nix looks awesome. And he was announced as his team starter. J.J. McCarthy out for the year. Michael Penix, weird stuff going on. Still have to believe, though, that Kirk Cousins is their starting quarterback. So Penix will back up. The last one we didn't know about is Drake May. And yesterday, I think you could not have had more movement towards May starting the year, which is not what we had heard all offseason. Anytime we talk to Evan Lazar or we talk to somebody else that covers the Patriots or read about what Drake May and Jacoby Brissett have going on in their QB competition, it was, all right, like May's doing well, but they want to start the veteran. They want to slow play it. They don't want to rush him right in. And now it might be tough to deny it because Jacoby Brissett gets injured last night on a play, which if you didn't see it, the right tackle just forgot to block somebody. And then when he realized, uh-oh, I should probably block somebody, he runs into his own running back, who probably also should have been blocking somebody. And meanwhile, Jacoby Brissett, it's like a Three Stooges comedy. The right tackle and the running back are just running into each other while Jacoby Brissett is standing there getting blasted. And he leaves with a right shoulder injury. Uh-oh. But maybe not uh-oh if you're a New England fan because Drake May looked kind of awesome. I think Drake May looks pretty darn good. He had his best game of the preseason last night. He goes for 13 of 20, 126 yards, and a touchdown. Against a lot of backups, yes, that needs to be said, preseason pledge. That's why we take the preseason pledge. A lot of this work is against backup players. But, man, it's hard to watch him and not be a little bit impressed. Like, Mac Jones, when he was having his very strong rookie year, if you were to go back and listen to some of our shows from 2020, it would have been 2021, and Mac Jones had New England at one point in first place in the AFC East and was having a nice rookie year. You go back to his rookie year, he finished second in Offensive Player of the Year voting. He made the Pro Bowl. I mean, he made the NFL top 100 list. He goes 67.6% completion percentage, 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 picks. And the Patriots go 10-7. And if you go back and listen to me or any of our shows from that season, it would probably be a lot of, I just don't think it's there though. I think this is a game manager right here. This is a guy where you watch him throw the football and you just go, okay, it's just, there's nothing really that looks that impressive here. Sure, he's got a good command of the offense and, you know, he's accurate and he knows where to go with the football and he doesn't give up too many turnovers. So, you know, Mac Jones, all right, but not that impressed. The word I always liked for Mac Jones was clunky. Everything looked clunky. His throwing motion, the way he ran, the way he moved about the pocket, none of it looked that aesthetically pleasing. Drake May, it looks smooth. All of it. It looks smooth. The ball kind of pops off his hand. That play that we came in with where he loses his shoe and Collinsworth is laughing about, oh, he's a legend now. Drake May on that play, like, yeah, he loses his shoe, his right shoe. So he can't plant on it. And it's only up, what is it? Is it an 8-yard throw?
In the replay, too, you can actually see him, like, pump fake. I think he wanted to do a deeper throw and then realized his shoe was off.
So he couldn't, he can lean into it.
Like, really, he was, like,
or step into it.
About to release the ball, and then all of a sudden just, like, tilts and throws to the short guy.
It's almost like a sidearm throw a little bit. It's like a little flick of the wrist, 7-8-yard throw. Right to the guy in stride, and without a shoe, they get a first down, or they come close to it, whatever. But there's that little flick of the wrist, and you go, ooh, look at that. Look at that arm talent. Look at that arm talent. It looked very Matthew Stafford-esque to me. But he's got the arm strength, man, and he's got some good mobility. There's that video that you can find on social media of him running to the Freebird guitar solo. He's got some good zip on the ball. He looks smooth in his delivery. Like, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I don't know that the results will match because New England is maybe the least trustworthy team in the league right now to develop and get the most out of a young quarterback, but I like their quarterback, man. I like their quarterback. If you asked me right now, this is not taking the preseason pledge. This is more preseason overreaction to a T. But if you asked me right now, which quarterback in the division am I worried about the most for the next 5 years? Who will give the Bills the most headaches in the next 5 years? I'm going to set a longer period of time on it because Rodgers is maybe 1 or 2 years only. I might take Drake May right now. But luckily, even if he's good, I don't know the New England's going to get it out of him. And I don't know the New England can surround him with enough to make it worth it and to give the Bills headaches in the first place. It's more in New England. New England is going to, I think, keep them in check. The decision makers there, the coach, who I'm not that big a fan of, the Belichick tree. Always bet against the Belichick tree. But May, you know, for his sake, I wish he was somewhere else because I think he's got it. I think he looks pretty good. And last night, he looked really, really strong. Again, will he challenge the Bills in the division? Maybe in a couple years. Maybe in a couple years. But New England has got such a long way to go. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get back to the Bills. I want to go run through the roster at 7 o'clock. 53-man roster projection coming up at 7. So stay tuned for that. Sal at 8. And little fantasy along the way as well. We'll have some fun. It is going to be hot. How hot in the next 2 days? Stay tuned to find out how hot it's going to be tomorrow, or unless you want to feel good about this week, then maybe don't. But stay tuned. It's going to be really, really warm tomorrow. Jody Biasi, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off today. Back tomorrow. This is WGR. Just saw this from the National Weather Service. Tomorrow. And even today. I mean, today it's going to be warm. But tomorrow, we could see the temperature reach 90. Do we jinx it with these pumpkin spice lattes being released so soon? We might reach 90 tomorrow. The heat index could reach the mid-90s. Right now, my apps is 87. 87, thunderstorms. I'm supposed to golf tomorrow. I don't know if that's happening. And then 70s throughout the week. Maybe a little 80s mixed in there along the way. We're still kind of far away from the elite season. I mentioned we went to Ellicottville for our big draft weekend. Year 15. Our 15th year. We're young guys, too. So this goes back to, like, we're borrowing our parents' computer to set up the league, you know, 15 years ago. We're out there having, like, the bonfire in the backyard. And, like, I'm not wearing a sweatshirt. I'm in the tank top and shorts. Like, it's nighttime, and the fire is a little warm. Like, you know, I'm right up against it. And it's like, this is not elite season yet. It's not elite season.
Probably one of those times you packed a hoodie, too, and just left it in your bag the whole time.
Didn't touch it. Maybe I grabbed it once. I think I packed 3 hoodies. I was ready for it. I wanted it. Give me that hoodie and shorts weather. Never got there. Never really got there. I want to talk about that draft. I drafted James Cook. Have done a bunch of drafts, whether it's the underdog, like the daily drafts, or it's one of my leagues. I have not drafted James Cook. I don't know if I've ever drafted James Cook. This happens with me once in a while. Like, this was Tua last week. I never drafted Tua before until I had a league last week where I did. Sometimes it just kind of falls that way. And I drafted Cook for the first time. But I was actually... Tua, I felt kind of gross about it after. Like, oh, no, that's not going to go well. I drafted Cook and went, why haven't I done this before? I feel like this is going to go well. I want to get to him over the course of today as well. His expectations. 803-0550. 53-man roster projection. And also... I've got a position that I think the Bills are stronger at than any other position that's not quarterback. That ahead as well. Jeremy and Joe, Jeremy's off today. Jody Biasi here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.